You love me, it's special.
Welcome back to the Black Is 15-minute break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have a gorgeous Black woman roundtable tonight. Tonight's guests, I would love for you all to introduce yourselves, starting with the guest to my left.
Stacey Brewer.
Tiffany Lanois.
Raina Lott.
Nikita Critchlow.
Joy Mae Harris.
Jamila EJ.
Toria Williams.
Sister T.
And tonight's topic is what makes a man marriageable. Okay, so I'll go ahead and start this conversation. I'll speak to my personal experience. What made my husband marriageable for me since middle school? I've known Chris since I was about 13, and he was very affectionate towards me then, even when I wasn't interested. That was something about his personality that remained consistent over the years for me. Two, he was very focused. We had light goals. And that was something that was very important to me, even if we didn't agree about everything in terms of what we both wanted out of life. That was the same. The last thing, he was able to keep a job. That was very important to me. Even though I see myself being a woman who will be successful and not have an issue with finances, that for me, I guess, was something that my mom planted the seed for me, is that, you know, make sure you have a man who can keep a job. If you can't keep a job, at least have a hustler spirit so that income is coming in. And I respected that, and I wanted that. And the most important thing, how am I forgetting this? He accepted me for who I was, as I was. Even those things about me that I felt needed change, he loved. And so that meant everything to me. He wasn't asking me to do anything different. I didn't have to jump through any hoops. I didn't have to do anything but just be myself. And I think that's something that has lasted for us. So for me, that's what made him marriageable. I would like for everybody to jump in and let's talk about those things that are important to us when we look for men to partner with and build families with.
I think that, like, first and foremost, if we accept a union as a partnership, there's also a major business component. So I naturally gravitate towards people who I can build with on that plane and who have those traits that you'd want in a business partner. Like, do you have foresight? Do you have the capacity to take me into consideration during your day, because I'm a part of your day? And so those things are, they should come naturally. And you don't see that until you give time and opportunity for those experiences to happen. So when you think about, like, what the criteria is for the man that you're going to marry, you need to be able to, like, be that business partner that I need you to be.
I think for me, what was really important was I had a list of what I call non-negotiables. You know, like, I had my preference list and what I wanted you to have, but I also had, like, these lists of things that, like, if you did any one of these things, that was kind of going to kill it for me. You know, smoking cigarettes was one thing, just because I didn't like the taste it left or the smell. But also it says something to me about how your health is important to you, or if your health is important to you. I didn't want to date anybody or seriously date someone that had kids. I didn't want that complexity that that brings. Definitely had to have a job. I'm glad you said that. Like, I think some women are, like, afraid to say that because they think, oh, am I going to be seen as a gold digger? No, like, that's just basic, right? Somebody that can, like, provide with you. I'm not the type that I want to be a housewife, which I don't see anything wrong with that, but I do want someone that can, like, meet me halfway in terms of living in a capitalist society where you need money to live. So I think for me, those non-negotiables were really important. You know, I don't consider myself a very religious person. I'm not Christian or anything. So I knew if I got with someone that was Christian, that that was going to be, you know, an issue. So when I met someone, there was, like, this list of stuff that I had, you know, that was, like, non-negotiable. Like, I don't care if everything else about you is awesome. You know, if you have one of these things, that's probably not going to work for me.
Well, not knowing what you don't want is a good start, right? It cuts out a lot of foolishness early in the game.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think as I've gotten older, I've allowed for concession, and I've allowed for humanity, and right. I've allowed things that aren't so savory to be taken in context. Like, okay, you don't have a job, but like you said, you spoke to hustler spirit. Like, if you can get after it and you can make sure that the numbers stay stable in our home, then mission accomplished. So I think if there's, I'm leery of being too rigid, because your vision is narrow and you could really miss the very individual who has been standing in front of you, but because of, you know, whatever, you just decided not to take them into consideration. So
I can definitely attest to that because I had this list, you know, you had to be a certain height. I had to, my head had to come underneath your chin. If my head didn't come underneath your chin, that wasn't going to work. You know what I'm saying? And I had this list. I think it came from, well, now I don't have a list now, but I think it's come from age and from experiencing different relationships, and you learn how to be a little more flexible, you know. And my husband now, none of the qualities he had was on my list. You know, he's not tall enough. He wasn't the right shade. I didn't want anybody, you know, a pretty boy. He was a pretty boy.
He's totally pretty boy.
I wanted this hardcore thug, you know, and he's not that way. He's so such a sweet person. And just as far as my husband, what made him marriageable is, it may sound so cliche, but he's my best friend. If we can't vibe like that, and I was able to have a voice, that was something I didn't have in past relationships, you know, a voice. He actually listened to me and actually wanted to know how I felt or what I thought. And I just think that was really important for me. And he's a partner. He, you know, whatever, he supports me and whatever I want to do. You know, he's behind me 100%. Take the kids, you know, screaming and all. You know, he'll just... He's a hustler. He's had three jobs, man, you know. So, and I admire that on him, too. So,
I have to co-sign on the friendship piece. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is so important. I think that's one thing that has helped Chris and I, just having that long foundation. It's like, I knew you when you was 14, dude, with braces. Like, come on. And so it's only so much you can get over on somebody who's known you that long and has seen you grow.
Yeah, I do love what Raina said because I'm single. So I can't really speak to, you know, what works for my husband and I. But in terms of what I look for, having a best friend just seems like really the most important piece. Because from that says so many things about what your relationship is and, you know, the depth of it all. I mean, really... Communication is so essential, but you don't talk to anybody whether you talk to your best friend. Right. So, and I just look at the marriages in my life that are successful. Mainly my grandparents have been married for over 50 years, and they are best friends. They absolutely, you know, I don't know that they would know what to do without the other. And there's just a level of trust and communication there that is so essential to a long partnership.
I'm sorry, I just want to chime back in because trust. Yeah, that's really important. And and it's funny because my husband and I, we kind of know each other's stuff, and we still love each other despite that. And we don't, you know, have this. You know how when you know somebody's done some dirt, you like, you know, you kind of look at them like, you know, I need to watch you. Right. You know, we don't have that because we have that bond. We have that friendship. We have that trust. We communicate, you know, we kind of know where each other's coming from. I think that's real important, too.
For me, it's a man who's comfortable in his own skin, because when he's comfortable in his own skin, he lends himself to allowing me to have a voice. He allows himself to be my best friend without feeling like, well, I've got to choose between my boys, or it's okay for me to be a man and be like, I'm in love. And right now, I think she's the one. So I need someone who's totally comfortable in his own skin, who I never have to hide who I am or to say, yep, I want to be a housewife. He's not going to be intimidated by that and think I'm a gold digger. He's going to, I marry somebody that's a little high maintenance, but I'm okay with that. And he wouldn't look at his boys and be like, well, she's getting over on me. That's my woman. That's it. That's all. No questions asked. Because when he's comfortable in his own skin, I'm more comfortable surrendering and letting him follow and take the lead of the household, because that's what I want to do.
There's mutual acceptance of you being you, him being him.
I was going to say the same thing about my husband, that I think what I love the most about him is that, you know, he is what you see is what you get. Like, he is always himself at all times. And, you know, whenever he says anything, you know he means it. And with that comes, you know, great integrity and sincerity that I really, really enjoy about him.
I would say that is so really crucial to a relationship as well. And it's interesting. I feel like men are better at being comfortable in their own skin than women are. And I feel like I've been in enough relationships as a young person where after their relationship was over, it's always hindsight, you know, but after it's over, I can say, oh, I was actually only being, you know, this corner of myself that was most accommodating and comfortable for you. And, but there was, you know, everything beyond that corner that you really had no idea was even there. And whether it's, you know, dumbing myself down or any number of things, really, I can, whatever kind of music that you're into, you know, I realize as I've gotten older how important it is to really be your full self and simply trust that if you do that, then, you know, you're giving them space to do the same and that they can't accept all of you if you don't show them all of you.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and I'm speaking from single land, so hello. It's so important to be your whole self going into it because you absolutely receive what you put out. And so if you put out pieces of self, you're going to get pieces of men. And you have to accommodate that because it's cool for the time being. And it's so not cool because 1 month turns into 2 months, turns into six, turns into a year. And then in hindsight, you realize you weren't a whole person. And so it's almost, in order to take responsibility for the package that you receive, you have to be accountable for self first. Mm-hmm. So that's my lesson at this stage in the process.
I also think what makes a man marriageable is someone who's able to laugh and go out and have fun and who can pamper, because women like to be pampered. I do, so I'm not going to front. I want to be pampered. Can you do that? Can we go and do that? And someone who accepts, like, that's what women like to do. And they do it without, you know, smirking or thinking I have some hidden agenda again to, like, take advantage of you. But who recognize that's what a woman does. That's what a woman wants in some form or fashion to be pampered. Mm-hmm. You know how to treat a woman makes you marriageable.
I have one more thought. Mm-hmm. One thing that I was looking for in a man was someone who didn't have any sort of emotional baggage, you know. And I guess that goes to being a whole person. But, you know, people who tend to carry that type of baggage, they, you know, turn out to be abusers, or they're always putting you down to lift themselves up or something like that. So I definitely stayed away from those kind of guys.
Mm-hmm. I also, you know, when I was on the scene, looking for someone that was definitely Black, like, I limited myself. I was like, you know, like, I want to marry a Black man. You know, I've never dated outside of my race, partially from societal or family pressures. But, you know, I kind of felt even within myself like, no, I'm gonna only date Black men. And because, you know, I kind of limited myself in that way, I knew that because I don't have necessarily like traditional values or traditional way of looking at things. Like when you say, you know, oh, women want to be pampered. Like, I don't. You know, I don't want a man to open my door. I don't like chivalry. I don't like those traditional things that people think typical women want. And so I knew that not only was I limiting myself in terms of a Black man, but then to say all, I need someone that's not Christian and ain't got no kids and no criminal.
Well, I know I'm getting married. Thank you, girl.
Right. Make it real. That, you know, I was limiting myself even more. And so when I met, you know, the person that did become my husband, I was like, oh, I got to lock this down. Like, he's weird like me, but he's Black. And oh, man, you know. So we moved kind of quickly because I knew, like, okay, all the things I'm kind of looking for, I think I found it. So I should just go ahead and lock this down right now, you know, because I don't think this is going to be everywhere.
That's so funny. When Toria made her point, I thought to myself, I am that kind of woman too. I do enjoy being pampered, but I can remember a time when I dated a man who liked being pampered more than I did. Mm. And how much of a giver I had to be in that relationship. And it's my natural instinct to be maternal in almost every relationship. I have to watch that. But with him, it was exhausting. And it had everything to do with what was happening with him personally and his relationships kind of filling whatever void for what was missing. And what he did for me was make it clear that that was not the kind of man I wanted to be with long term. I could not do that much giving without any level of reciprocity. Furthermore, I realized I wanted somebody whose shoulder I could lean on and there be a balance there. We can lean on each other. Mm-hmm. But if he was going to be just doing all the leaning, child, I'm tired. You know, like, come on, brother. I need you to be strong. You know, it's just I really wanted that. And so it's good. Somebody, I think it was you, Nikita, who made the point. Sometimes you have to go through what you don't want to figure out what it is that you want.
Mm-hmm. It's a process.
Yeah. Ladies, we agree this conversation could probably use a part two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we thank you for joining us. Check back in for part two of the next Black Is 15-Minute Break. Peace. Your intelligence.